first of all, the Braille note.
Okay, my name is Chris Grabowski. I work with Sendero Group. They're the manufacturers of the Sendero GPS product. Has anybody ever heard of it? Okay, it runs on the Braille note form of note takers, the PDAs put out by Humanware. I have two of them. One has a QWERTY input keyboard, which here, and that's computer style. And I have the other one, which is a Braille input keyboard, and it's really tiny. It's the Braille Note PK. And we use the Braille Note as a vehicle to give GPS information to those with visual impairments, totally blind or low vision. Now, location literacy is kind of a unique term for what it stands for, and basically it's giving an individual the literacy or learning about their location via speech or braille, speech output or braille output. There are three accessible GPS systems on the market. There's the Sendero product, which I'm very familiar with. There's the Trekker product from Humanware. And there's also the PackMate Street Talk product from Freedom Scientific. Some of the strengths and weaknesses of the Trekker and PackMate and even the Braille Note product. I'll start with the Braille Note product. In order to get the GPS to run on a Braille Note, you need...
Okay, my name is Chris Grabowski. I work with Sendero Group. They're the manufacturers of the Sendero GPS product. Has anybody ever heard of it? Okay, it runs on the Braille Note form of note takers, the PDAs put out by Humanware. I have two of them. One has a QWERTY input keyboard, which is right here, and that's computer style. And I have the other one, which is a Braille input keyboard, and it's really tiny. It's the Braille Note PK. And we use the Braille Note as a vehicle to give GPS information to those with visual impairments, totally blind or low vision. Now, location literacy is kind of a unique term for what it stands for, and basically it's giving an individual the literacy or learning about their location via speech or braille, speech output or braille output. There are three accessible GPS systems on the market. There's the Sendero product, which I'm very familiar with. There's the Trekker product from Humanware, and there's also the PackMate Street Talk product from Freedom Scientific. Some of the strengths and weaknesses of the Trekker and PackMate and even the Braille Note product. I'll start with the Braille Note product. In order to get the GPS to run on a Braille Note, you need, first of all, the Braille Note, and that's going to cost you relatively $2,000 to $6,000, depending on if you want a what they call a voice note, which is a PDA with Braille input or QWERTY input and no Braille display, Or the next one up is a Braille Note 18, which is a Braille input or QWERTY input with a refreshable Braille display. Yes?
Do you have a PowerPoint on there that's being displayed as the Power DVD?
No, I do not have a PowerPoint.
Oh, okay.
It's for a video.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we're
right.
Slides.
No, we're not supposed to be seeing slides. And the Braille Note PK, which is the little tiny one, is about $5,000, and that is a Braille input only with an 18-cell Braille display. And then you go up to $6,000, which is the Braille Note with a QWERTY or Braille keyboard and a 32-cell Braille display. Okay. So that's cost, and then you add the Sendero GPS product on top of that, which is $1,600. One of the disadvantage of the Trekker is it's a PDA, and if your battery dies, you lose all your data on it. So if you haven't backed it up, you have to reinstall it using a PC, and that actually goes for the Street Talk as well from Freedom. Do we have any questions so far?
Yeah, I have a question. This is kind of a naive question, but with the Braille Note and Sendero, how is it added? Is it like is it a chip or is it a card or is it like, what is it?
Okay, the question was, how is the GPS added?
Downloaded?
Yes, it is actually software that is installed off of a compact flash card.
Okay.
And the hardware component is a wireless off-the-shelf Bluetooth receiver that receives your latitude and longitude position, transmits to the Braille Note, and then the software, and this actually works for all three. The software on the PDA then translates your coordinates and says, okay, well, you're standing on the street. You're 400 feet away from the street, or you're 100 feet away from this point of interest or business or whatever. One main advantage that the Sendero product has that the other two don't is manual route creation. What you can do with... Has anybody used GPS in a car? Okay. Where you create a route, you're at point A and you want to go to point B and it creates a route for you. Okay. All three units do that. But what the Sendero product does is, say you're in an area that you can't rely on streets, you're in a woods, for example, on a hike, you can plot your own route. You can walk it and drop what they call waypoints or virtual breadcrumbs. And that will allow you to get back to your position. So if you could do that on a college campus, they're not really mapped that well, so you could map your classes. So I want to go from building A to building B. I can walk it with somebody and drop points down. Okay, I'm going to show a movie on what GPS or accessible GPS is.
In today's visual world, blind people are challenged by the unreliability of verbal directions from passersby.
Excuse me, can I ask you some directions?
Now, yeah.
Now there is a technology that provides location information about nearby points of interest and detailed street directions. Sendero's accessible GPS with Braille and speech output. So, how does a blind person get around now?
I have, of course, my trusty GPS that I use just about any time I leave the house.
Since the GPS, it's been great because I can actually just look and see what streets I'm on, and it tells me if I'm getting closer to the street and how much further I have to go to get to my destination.
I'm always on the go. I'm always on the go. I love it. I can do action things that I haven't been able to do
for years while my son left.
And I pretty much always carry that with me and turn it on, listen to what's around me. It's just great. I love it.
The most helpful thing for me with the GPS is traveling in the evening. Makes me feel, and I think look a little more confident, because I know where I'm going and I don't have to ask people.
I loved it. It gives you a sense of independence immediately. It's been great.
The BrailleNote GPS navigation system is the newest creation from the Sendero Group, allowing people who are visually impaired gain a higher degree of freedom and independence. The idea behind accessible GPS navigation began several years ago with Striker, a system consisting of a backpack with a large numeric keypad for interaction. Begun at Arkenstone in 1994, this system garnered a great deal of media attention.
Strider.
But, as with all technology, it soon became bulky and cumbersome compared to modern computer systems. Luckily, the Sendero Group was always looking towards the future.
The people who built Strider foresee a future in which it will fit not in a backpack, but in tiny palm-top computers like this.
That future is now. The BrailleNote GPS operates on a series of points of interest, or POIs, to guide the user to where they want to go. Currently, there are about 12 million points of interest in the United States and Canada available with the system. Plus, the user is able to set their own POIs, such as home, a friend's house, or the buildings on a college campus. They can then get directions to wherever they want to go at the press of a few buttons. The system also has what is called a look-around mode. This mode lets a visually impaired person know what's around them at any given time. For instance, you go to the local plaza or shopping mall. You get out of your car and look around to see what stores are available to you. A blind person does not have this ability. Look around mode will tell them what is around based on their current GPS location. This, along with many other features, is why Sendero is considered the Cadillac of accessible GPS systems. Tests at Western Michigan University show that a wide range of users are quicker to find a targeted location with BrailleNote GPS than they are without GPS. You are invited to go on a journey with the new Sendero GPS user as he travels from class to a coffee shop to a local restaurant.
Basically, from the Wellman Hall where my class was to the coffee house was a fairly straight route. My head, by projecting a line eastbound across West Quad Street, and then through a big open area. And the beauty of the GPS is it really allowed us to walk across that open area with a lot of empty space that a blind person could veer into without veering.
Approaching right turn at Lake Point 3, east squad at 1 squad, key in perception at 128 feet.
located east on the north side of 3rd Street, North Washington, 3rd Street, until we reached a set of about 15 or so wooden stairs leading up to the deck of the suspect.
Okay, so the way, when you go through orientation and mobility, the way that a blind person is taught to orientate themselves when they're learning a route is your destination is 2 blocks to the left, 3 blocks to the right, and 5 blocks forward. So what happens if you mess that up? So are you 2 blocks, 5 blocks, 3 blocks, or is it 5 blocks, 3 blocks, 2 blocks? So you kind of get lost. That's one of the main ways that a person can get lost. You start to daydream and you miss a spot. With the GPS, a person can mentally build their own map of their own area. So if they're walking down the street and it says McDonald's is 125 feet ahead and left, then they know they're in the right area. If they see some sort of other store that they've never heard of before, you know, if they're not following a route and they are just walking the map, just kind of walking around their neighborhood, and they see a store or a restaurant or something that they have no idea where they are, then they know that they've kind of off the beaten trail. What they can do with the GPS then is set a destination and create a route to that area to find their way back. Some of the misconceptions of GPS are that it's going to replace the cane of the dog, that it can tell if, and I had this actually happen the other day, somebody saw me walking around my neighborhood using it, and she says, will that tell you if I'm in front of you? No. When you get hit, you'll know, right? Also, GPS, once you buy the hardware and software and maps, it's yours. There's no monthly fee. I know some people think OnStar is GPS. Well, it is, but you're paying for that person to be on call when you pay that monthly fee. You're not really paying for the GPS. That's paid for by the Department of Defense. Any questions so far on any of this?
Yes, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. The question was, how was it orientated to the direction of travel? And the answer is, you were correct when you said you have to start moving in a specific direction. So if I'm walking down the street and it says I'm going northeast, and then I decide to spin myself in a circle, it has no idea that I've made that change until I start walking maybe 30 feet to 100 feet. It'll take that long to get its new direction. Now, the nice thing about that is you can be sitting on a bus and have your GPS working, and you're going the direction the bus is going, even though you're sitting with your back to the side of the bus. You know. Any other questions? You can actually switch the GPS from imperial to metric. And when it's saying feet, if it's saying 120 feet, it's a rough estimate. You know, the GPS's inaccuracy is 30 feet, and then you have the inaccuracy of the maps. So you still it's not going to get you to the doorway. It's going to get you within, say, 30 to 60 feet of the doorway, depending on how good your accuracy is at that specific time.
Is every community uploaded for it to know exactly where things are located at?
Yes, the maps are comprised of, let's say, the United States. You have all the maps of the United States. You can have either one state if you feel that you're not going to travel outside of your area, or if you want to load the entire country, you can create a map from New York to San Francisco, or a route from New York to San Francisco. So you just download and install them on a little compact flash card, and with the 8 GB size limit on some of these compact flash cards, you can have the whole map of the United States in one, have access to the whole thing.
How often is that updated, where if you were going to go to a location that's out of business, and you know that, how would that happen?
About once a year. We're currently working on the April of 07 maps. That's the latest data that we have.
and the Krispy Kremes that went out of business back in November of 06 is gone already. At least in my area. That one that I know of is gone. We obviously can't go to every single place and check them out. It would be kind of cool, though, but... Currently, right now, the best input is having a keyboard. Because say you're walking down the street and you're talking to your GPS and a truck passes you. So now you're not going to McDonald's, you're going to Sears because that's what it thought you said. So that's pretty much keyboard input is still the best way to do it. Right. Well, you can smell that one. Yes. Oh, it's not naive at all, actually. Some people will buy a speaker and put a speaker up near their head so that they can hear the information. Some people, it's not recommended, but they use a headset or an earphone. Some people, if they can afford it, will have the Braille output so they can read it and not worry about the speech. Another option is instead of having it automatically talk, you can hit keys like, say I'm walking down the street and I want to find out my next turn.
Yeah, I see.
Yes. Yes. Yes, it's all customizable as far as, you know, if you want your intersections repeated, if you don't want your intersections repeated. If you want your intersections repeated, but only when you stop, you can have it that way too. So if you stop in the middle of the block, you can get cues like your nearest intersection, your nearest point of interest, and your satellite status if that's what you desire. You're talking about the multi-path where buildings, tall buildings in New York City, and that will interfere with the GPS. Actually, a lot of the newer receivers, the Surf 3, and even we found with testing the newer MTK chipsets, they do much better with multi-path. It's not totally eliminated, but it's much better. You won't lose your fix when you're walking down the streets in New York, for example. What you do have to rely on is heading and distance, or distance, actually. So if you're walking down the street and it's saying that something is ahead of you or behind you, but the distance is decreasing, then you know it's multipath. So these are all signs that you learn to read when you are using the GPS. And it actually goes back to what the other person was asking about what you hear. You kind of tune out what you want to hear when you're walking down the street as well. It's a learning procedure. Sometimes I've missed my stop because I've been kind of daydreaming and the GPS is talking, but you're not paying attention to it. Another way we talk about orientation, we're talking all about GPS mode and outside and walking around and traveling. Another way that you can get, or a person can get, orientation is by virtually exploring a location. So I'm going to start the GPS program.
Six maps loaded. If GPS not active, make sure your receiver is on and go to your ESOP connectivity menu and activate it. To connect, press C. Or GPS mode without connecting, press P or virtual mode, press V.
So I'm going to press V for virtual.
In virtual mode.
Now, one thing I can do is set my GPS location to where the last fix was, to a virtual position so I can explore.
Use 40 keystrokes here. Enter name for virtual GPS position. Virtual position set to GPS location.
Now, if I press a key that'll bring up my nearest points of interest.
Warren 100 switching to GPS mode.
Let's see.
Switching to Warren 190 for keep WR to test to uncheck solutions 376 feet north.
These are test points that I've put in, some of them, as you can tell. So you can actually explore a location. And it's actually giving us the direction. Did you notice the 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock? It's giving us the orientation in a clock phase. So 12 o'clock is straight ahead. 1 o'clock is a little bit off to the right. 2 o'clock is a little more off to the right. 3 o'clock is dead right at a 90-degree angle. And then 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock are behind and right. And then 7 and 8 are behind and left. And 11 and or 10 and 11 are ahead and right. Or ahead and left.
No on Howden Avenue heading north at Warren Avenue, 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock. 256 feet north, Northern Avenue, 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock. 268 feet north, Warren Road, 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock.
So now I can figure out where I am via a grid, a grid of the streets of the area that I'm in. I'm actually traveling around Buffalo, New York.
Now on Wolfman Road heading west at Alden Avenue, 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock. 861 feet west, Rowley Avenue, 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock.
Now let's do an address lookup.
Address lookup. Enter state.
It says enter state. Do it.
State, no state sound match. State, no state sound matching that name. Enter state. Sound two matching states. New York, California. California, Holden, enter city, Davis, found two matching cities, Davis area, Euro.
And I'm going to the Sendero headquarters.
Davis, Holden, enter address number, 1118, enter street name, L, Maple Lane, Holden, define as destination, toy, or virtual.
So I just flew from Buffalo to California in about 3 seconds. And again, we can use our orientation. We can hit X for nearest intersection.
275 feet north to Cornell Drive, north.
And we can hit F for points of interest that are around Sendero Group.
Sendero Group, 290 feet north. Clay Johnson Certified Pro, 340 feet southwest. Linden Bike Path, outside of Chavez and Park, 509 feet east. Redwood Park Building Steps, 656 feet northeast. Anderson South Bike Path to Cedar Chavez School and Park, 738 feet east.
So all of these points of interest can be triggered as we walk by them, or as we virtually explore.
275 feet north, now on Maple Lane heading south at Cornell Drive, 6 o'clock. Now on Cornell Drive heading north at Maple Lane, 6 o'clock. 285 feet west, time lane, 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock.
And I can actually change that clock phase.
GPS options list. Map and heading mode. Editing GPS options menu. Left-right mode.
So now it's not instead of giving us clock face, it's going to give us left-right.
Now on time lane heading north at Cornell Drive, left and right.
See?
266 feet north, Purdue Drive, left.
So now we know that Purdue Drive is only on the left-hand side, not on the right side. It doesn't cross through that this street, and we are near.
Near 1,198 time lane.
So if we want to turn down that street that's on our left.
Now on Purdue Drive heading west at time lane, left and right.
Now we'll go forward.
739 feet west, no street ahead. Sycamore Lane, right and left and Purdue Drive behind. 0.29.
Okay, so now I have no idea where I am. And I am going to search for a point of interest.
Enter starting distance for the toy search. Enter the ending distance for the toy search. Select category. All. All chosen. Enter toy search. Sendero 1 point found. Furthest toy. Sendero route 0.20 miles behind east.
So it's 0.20 miles behind, so I will set that as my destination.
Destination set to Sendero route.
And then I'll create a route. A turn-by-turn route.
Route command list.
Pedestrian, P for pedestrian.
Creating pedestrian route. Route created. Arrive near beginning of route waypoint 1, Sycamore, south.
Go forward.
262 feet, waypoint 2, Cornell and Sycamore. Turn left on Cornell Drive heading east.
So it's giving us turn-by-turn instructions.
745 feet, waypoint 3, Cornell and time. 287 feet, arrive near destination waypoint 4, Sendero route, destination, right side. Arrive near destination Sendero route 1118 Maple Lane, Davis CA 95,616, MPM 1003.
Okay, so that's the same route that we can use in GPS mode or in virtual mode. So if I wanted to save that route and I was going to go back there again, I would open that route when I was outside tracking and the system would give us turn-by-turn instructions like it was giving in the video. Any questions on virtual exploring? Yes. Yes, yes, actually that's a perfect example. When I came here, I didn't know what to expect. It was it was a resort, and I've only been to one other resort in my life, and you really can't rely on the map data because there isn't any map data. So the first thing I did was grab a volunteer, and she and I went to the buildings that I would need, and I recorded points of interest. So, for example, I'm staying currently in the main area where the check-in is. So I put that in as a point of interest, and then I put the MacArthur Hall entrance in it as a point of interest. So this morning I just walked outside, acquired my GPS position, and using what they call a getting warmer method, set the MacArthur Hall as my destination, had it repeating every 12 seconds, and the distance was decreasing, so I knew I was getting closer, 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 till finally I arrived. So you can make your own maps if the system doesn't allow you to. I have one for the exhibit hall as well, and a few other different places that we went. And the beauty of this is that I can upload them, and I will when I get back. And anybody who comes here with a Sendero GPS will have my points. Yes.
They have to know that you added that, and they have to download or update what they have?
Basically, what it is, it's what they call a collective user point, and anybody who wants to sends their points to Mike May, and he converts this one big file monthly, and it's cumulative. So anything that was in there in March is in there in the April file, plus the new ones, and then the May file, and so on and so on. So if you want to go download them, you can. It's totally up to you, and if you want to submit them, you can. It just makes the wealth of information so much better. You can also use the GPS as a yellow pages.
News and Herald Clinton 5F, Clay Johnson certified throat, 558 feet, behind and right, southwest.
And I just did a simple point of interest search, and I'm going to hit a hotkey.
Clay Johnson certified throat, bonus, 821 time lane, Davis, CA 95,616, 530-753-0263.
So now there's the address and the phone number of the place I can call them. I've done that on a number of situations where if you're in a strange city and you're in a cab and you want to go somewhere, or if you're on a vacation with a family member, I've done this too, where we were looking for a specific place, found it in the GPS, called them, found out they weren't open, so we didn't have to go there. So you as a blind individual can be a navigator. And I also had a situation where having the GPS, and I believe this was a lifesaver, because my better half and I, who's also totally blind, we decided we were going to go to the movies. So we went to the movies, and then we called our cab, and we were waiting outside for the cab to come. And somebody decided that they wanted to take us for a ride. And they come up to us and said, okay, your cab is here. They must have heard us talking about calling a cab. So we get in the car, had a very bad feeling about it, but what are you going to do when you're already driving away? So normally I would have my earphone on with my GPS talking. At that time, I pulled the earphone out, turned the speech down so they could understand that they were being tracked. And needless to say, no harm came from it, but I think that there may have been if, you know. Because why would somebody want to do that? I've also used it in snowstorms in Buffalo, New York, where there was no sidewalk at all. And the only thing I had was a GPS, and I was told that as I was going to this one destination one day, I was cutting through parking lots and had no idea because there was no sidewalks to follow. And I was just using the getting warmer method to go to my destination. The distance was decreasing, so I was getting closer.
Chris, can you talk a little bit about indoor?
Yes, indoor navigation's not there yet. We are currently working on actually two projects. Sendero's GPS program, I'll mention this now, was kind of married to the BrailleNote, but we've developed an SDK, and already a couple companies have purchased the SDK, so you'll see it on devices like the VoiceSense from GW Micro or the BrailleSense from GW Micro. That will be the Sendero software running. So that's a good thing. The indoor navigation, we are currently working with talking lights. And talking lights are the fixtures that go into the light sockets, your fluorescent lights, and they emit a frequency that you are carrying with you, your BrailleNote. And it will say, for example, and I have no idea if there's a light ahead of me, on top of me or not, so you guys have to help me out. But if there's a light above me, it would say near podium. Now, one thing I figured out yesterday, because I was reading about this before I came, was that if two talking lights are next to each other and they're giving off the same density of frequency, it's going to ignore both of them until it finds the stronger frequency, which is pretty cool because that way it's not giving you erroneous information. It's dead on. When it tells you you're there, you're there. So we are currently working on that. And that'll be nice in a conference situation where you're trying to find a certain room and you'll be able to find your room. Or an exhibit hall, for example. You're walking from table to table. I mean, those things are a nightmare anyway. But we definitely are working on indoor navigation. So your outdoor navigation with the GPS is going to be seamless with your indoor navigation with, say, talking lights. And a person can put points of interest in the building. Now, that'll be pretty cool. I'm not exactly sure, to be honest with you.
But it would require a facility.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So that's a major hurdle.
Yes. Yes. I'm not going to stand here and say it's not. The fixture would have to be, there's like a little piece of something. The way I understand it, there's a little piece of something that goes between the light and the fixture. Yes. And also another thing for the future is the mention of the SDK, which would allow us to put the Sendero product on a cell phone. So you could walk down the street with your Talks-enabled or MobileSpeak-enabled cell phone and have GPS on it, accessible GPS. That used to work. Let's see. Yeah, Braille notes can fall. Okay. Any other questions, feedback? The weight of the Braille note is about 2 pounds for the bigger one and about 1 pound for the smaller one. The receiver is roughly 6 ounces. And the battery life on the Braille note is about 20 hours. And the receiver, it's about 10 hours. Some of the newer ones that we are testing are about 30 hours for the receiver. So that's nice. The receiver outlasts the Braille note. The only disadvantage to that is you don't charge it every night, and you're going to go out one day and it's not going to work. Yeah, you're right. And actually, what's really nice about the M-Power family of the Braille Note is you can charge your receiver using the USB port. I've actually done that where I'll turn the Braille Note on, plug it in, and connect the receiver to the USB port and leave them both plugged in, and one's charging the other. But that doesn't work on the PK, which is the smaller one. Right. You should actually use your cane or dog for quite some time before relying on a GPS. And the GPS, you always want to keep in mind, is a secondary aid, not a primary aid. You still have to or should have good mobility when you're out and about. Now, having said that, you know as well as I do that not everybody does, and they rely on the GPS, and they can get themselves lost.
It has to do with cognitive load. How many things can you attend to at a time?
Yes.
You're talking about asking that.
Well, yes, that's exactly right.
So if you concentrate on traffic sounds for a safe street crossing, then you make sure that you're not listening to your GPS.
Personally, what I have done is I will literally shut the thing off so that it's not talking. We do have 3 hours of training if you purchase the system directly through Sendero, and we can go over those types of techniques, but a lot of those techniques are going to be learned by the individual when they're out and about, because when they're first handed this GPS, it's overwhelming. The data that's coming at you is overwhelming, and they're going to have to learn to cut not, or to shut that off in their mind. Not that I'm aware of, thankfully.
I know my orientation and mobility specialist, who fell with therapy, she has very, very, very few clients. She has something that I'm not ready for it. You know, I have to pull my legs to go and change these.
Well, you can always use, actually, that brings up a good point.
Before you go high tech, you need to be.
Right, right. And in.
And the orientation and mobility specialist would really work with someone to get them to tackle with using that technology.
Right.
That would be my
question. Right. And the one thing that you can do in training the individual is to train them on the Braille note itself, how to navigate through menus before even touching the GPS. The second thing would be, this is how you enter and exit GPS. Okay. The third thing would be, this is how you travel virtually. So you're virtually sitting in your car, and hopefully you're not going to get hit by a car in your house. So you're sitting in your couch and you're virtually exploring, and then the next step would be to not go outside but go in a car where, again, you have controlled environment. And then the final step would be to go outside. You know, there are not that many people that should just pick the thing up and go outside. On the M-Power, you have the choice between eloquence and the keynote speech. So the eloquence, let me find that speaker that got pulled out. So you have this speech, or you have
options menu, speech number, speech synthesizer, eloquence, speech voice, exit, child development,
CDR,
0.20 miles, right, west.
So they give you the choice between the keynote speech and the eloquent speech. Yes. It's not Jaws. Um, I find it quite clear, although I've been using speech synthesis since the early 90s when it sounded like robots and, you know, no inflection whatsoever, where you could have them go 400, 500 words a minute and understand every word because there was no intonation, there was no nothing, it just went. And again, speech synthesis is very specific to an individual. Somebody might love eloquence. Some people, like me, might hate it. That's why it was on keynote speech. But you do have the option.
Speed unknown. Speed unknown.
And I will be around if anybody wants any like live demos of this.
The configuration of these buildings, when you set your waypoint at the registration, do you go outside the hallway to the vendor hall, or do you go in and out of buildings like everybody else?
Yeah, I would go right outside the building hall and put it in. So it's at the entryway. You stay outside so you can get the best coverage possible. I was actually, when I was doing the points, I was walking through the hotel and not losing my GPS acquisition, but again, inside, that fix is degraded because of the multipath. So having said that, you could, in with the newer receivers, put points of interest inside the building and then get back to them. They might be off 100 feet the next time you go back to them. So,
give you any indication of fixed quality?
Yes, it does. It will say, unfortunately we can't do it here, but it will say 20 feet, 9 satellites, and then if you want more, it'll give you the HDOP and the VDOP values, which a good receiver will run at 0.8 and 0.9 or 0.7 and 0.8, which will give you the 15-foot accuracy. Which I've seen 15-foot accuracy with the newer receivers. So coming back to a point and getting within 15 feet of it is pretty darn good. And it's when you hit G and get your quality, that's also telling you that you're within that 15-foot radius. Or 20 foot, or 35 foot, or 1,000 foot radius. So if it's 1,000 foot, you know not to trust it. And a lot of people still think it's a toy. When I first got mine, my better half told me it was a toy. And this was 2002. This was, I just decided to buy it sight unseen. And she says, oh, it's a toy, it's a toy, it's a toy. Well, one day she and I and her parents went to New Jersey for a vacation. And we were staying at a place. And this is before the system had maps. So we were doing this manual route thing I was talking about earlier. So her dad and I walked from where we were staying to the entrance to the boardwalk, which had quite a bit of restaurants and points of interest in this boardwalk. And if she and I wanted to go to it, we could just take the GPS and go. And it took her 3.5 years, but she later told me she says, well, when we were in New Jersey, that's when I realized it wasn't a toy. You know, it's literacy. It's knowing where you are. It's being able to help when you're out and about. We were out and about somewhere waiting for a cab to come home, and these two people were talking on their cell phone, and they says, well, I can't find the number to such and such a restaurant. So I'm like, do-do-do-do-do, pulled it up, did you guys want the number for such and such? And they go, yeah. I says, here it is. Gave it to them. So that's, it makes you feel good that you're able to help that person out instead of just standing there and, you know, you can't give them that information. Right. Personal keyboards, like speech synthesizers, are personal. It's a personal preference. For the portability and the GPS, nothing beats the PK right now with the Braille input. I'm slow at Braille writing. But again, if you're out and about with the size difference, I'll sacrifice the speed on writing to have that small size. Because if it's a point of interest that I'm recording, I can always rename it when I get home if I messed up the spelling. Well, there are a lot of one-handed commands using the PK or the M-Power with the Braille input keyboard. Like, for example, to get your quality of GPS fix, you'd hit G or you'd hit space dot 5. So we've actually put one-handed commands in for traveling and just reaching down and hitting a hand to get dot 5 will give you your heading and stuff instead of H, because H is obviously a two-handed command. Well, I think that's all I have for you. If anybody wants any live demonstrations of this, let me know, and I will be more than happy to go from point A to point B, show you how it works. Magic number.
Good afternoon, everyone.